Hey, podcast lovers.
Now available, a new podcast experience featuring exclusive miniseries like
Food Faves,
an all-new series that takes a fun look at everyone's real first true love, food.
Milky Way Marvels,
a lighthearted astronomy series where we explore the fascinating wonders of our galaxy,
pop culture icons,
an entertaining, nostalgic look back at various nouns in popular culture,
plus more.
Relax, enjoy, listen, laugh, and maybe even learn. Podcast presented by Sonic Embassy.
Now streaming everywhere you listen.
For many of us growing up, the arcade was one of the most anticipated and fun places to go. If you're listening to this and you haven't listened to part one yet, I would encourage you to do that now. It was rad, like totally. Duh! This time, we'll also go a little behind the scenes on them. Plus, if you stop going, why? That and more, so take a chill pill and enjoy.
Podcast presented by Sonic Embassy.
Episode 1-1, Pop Culture Icons, The Arcade, Part 2.
On part one, we had a lot of fun reminiscing on the good old days. Whether you were an 80s kid like me, or...
You know, I mean, me being a 90s kid, man, proud of it, man. I feel like my generation was like the last generation to really experience the stuff that y'all experienced and stuff. We were like the last one before like the big gaming, everyone's indoors now. You know, because you went outside, made friends. It's like, oh, okay. Are the scores you wanted to beat, like those three initials? It's like, oh, man, who is this JKW? Who is this person?
Yeah.
And they keep winning. They keep having the top score. Yeah, so that whole thing, man. Soon as I saw you say we're doing arcades, so I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah, man.
Ooh, funny you should mention that.
There exists an elite group, a crack commando unit, a collection of the best from everywhere and nowhere. A secret society, unattainable to most. The reality of whose existence would be denied if not for their signature, where an elite few get to leave their mark. Three initials, the royal list of people better than you. The high score list.
Man, that high score list was elusive.
Yes.
The only time I ever got onto the high score board, it was right after a power failure and it lost all of its data. And I was the first one to play the game and I ended up on the high score board, but it didn't last very long.
You know, now I'm getting like a flashback. At the movie theater, there was something that I liked to play. And I, for the life of me, I can't remember what it was, but I got to put my initials in there. And oh God, it was so exciting because I never was good enough to do that.
Me either. You know, I was thinking of something. Do you remember if boys and girls were drawn to different types of games? I feel like there was a little, but I can't remember. What do you guys remember?
You know what? That's a good question. A lot of times, I'm going to be honest, a lot of times the girls would pretty much play the same games we play because they had like, you had female characters in these games. So, but I know some, maybe they were tomboys, but they were right on it. Like there was some girl, I had a neighbor that was just amazing at Street Fighter. Like she was incredible with Blanca. I'm like, I couldn't beat her. And it used to make me so mad, but she always threw it in my face afterwards. You know what? I can't think of any games that really stood out that a lot of girls went towards. I think for the most part, the girls that I saw in there, they played the same games we played, the exact same play, and got were even better than a lot of us too.
Mm-hmm.
We were ashamed to admit it. It was like, oh, I got beat by Jessica. Got to go to school tomorrow. Sit by myself at lunch. But yeah, they all seem to play the same games we play that I remember.
So, like, I think they had Care Bear back then, too. So, Care Bear games for the girls, you know, Miss Pac-Man for the girls. The boys always like the basketball one because that's been around forever. And the guy's always like the ones with the guns, you know, because they had like little guns, but like, you know, not like it is today, but they still had them back then. And skee ball, guys like the skee ball too. I think that was like universal for men, for girls and boys. Now you make me want to go to like Dick's, like, or was it Dick's? Or like here they've got another one. Now I'm gonna want to go to an arcade here locally in the Chicagoland area and go play some games.
D&B, Dave and Buster's.
There you go. That's what. Why am I thinking Dick's? Yeah, Dave and Buster's. Hey, I was close. It started with a D.
I'm gonna tell you the truth, man. I don't remember a whole lot of girls in the arcade, and maybe it was just that time of my life where I just wasn't paying them any attention. But it was just the fellas, man. It was just a bunch of fellas in a game, and it was either, like I said, Street Fighter, or when NBA Jam came out.
Oh, he's heating up.
NBA Jam was, you know, he's on fire. That was tight.
Yeah.
And then they had a couple of other games that, you know, the fellas would jump into. So it was just a few games. The rest of them, you know, nobody really paid attention to unless it was super crowded. But those three, man, NBA Jam with the flashback to the guys coming in dunking, man, that was awesome. But it was always packed out. Like I said, you just had to wait your turn. And when you got your turn, you just could not get off, or you might as well just go to something else. But I don't remember a lot of girls out there, man. I just don't remember. And maybe they just weren't paying me no attention.
Natty, what do you remember?
Not back then, honestly. Like, it was all pretty, you know, unisex, if you will. Even the gun games, because even girls would go towards that. I never really noticed there was difference there.
That's a great question, and the actual analytics on that don't exist, but I would say, just based on my observations, women, girls love skee ball. They love skee ball, and I don't know what it is, but they absolutely love skee ball. So I would say that the women tend to gravitate towards skee ball, whereas the men want to do the basketball shooting, the football throwing, the fast pitch game, you know, more of those interactive games. Or even that punching bag. Like, that's the ones that the men want to do, or the boys, the women, the girls want to do skee ball. There's no scientific data behind that, just based on kind of what I see. Now, if you see couples come in, the guy's going to be at the crane machine trying to win his girl a plush. If it's parents, same thing. Parents trying to win the kids plush. Or me, like, I go to Plucky Ducky, which is it's a crane game where you get a rubber duck, but it's a guaranteed winner every time. So it's one of those play until you win type games. So I think it also depends on what your demographic is. If it's just a bunch of girls, I think they go to skee ball. If it's a bunch of guys, they get, you know, but it changes based on the makeup of the family.
Let's get a little more into that. As promised, let's properly introduce and talk to someone who has worked behind the scenes running several modern day arcades.
Hey, this is Scott from the No New Friends podcast. I used to be a general manager at two very large family entertainment centers here in the attractions capital of the world, Orlando, Florida.
Very cool. In your observation, what were some of the most popular games?
Any coin pusher games. Coin pusher games made the most money, bar none, at both locations. Any arcade, coin pusher games make the most money. Now, as far as the one that had the longest line would be the 4-player Halo game. That game was always, always, always busy. Just came out about two to three years ago. It was a sit-down Halo game. It fully closed in, had doors on the both sides, but it was a 4-player shooting game. Now they've stopped making the 4-player, and it's only a 2-player, or you get the two players and put them together. I just happen to work for a family entertainment center that got suckered into buying the 4.
Okay, so you said coin pusher. What is that?
So it's almost like a Vegas style or carnival style game where you put the coin in, and it's got these movable platforms with more coins on them. And as the coin drops, it pushes the other coins over this edge and then onto another edge, and then pushes the coins off the edge. Now, what's really cool about these modern coin pushers, especially in an arcade, is they also have these cards on them, these playing cards. So like Wizard of Oz is probably the most popular one. Wizard of Oz is and Willy Wonka. And you have to collect the set of cards in order to win the jackpot amount of tickets. Now, that's really hard to do because if there's 1,000 cards in a stack, there may be only one golden ticket for Willy Wonka. out of that 1,000. So you have to time it where it's on the playing field, because a lot of times they're just in the stack and it only drops every so often. And then Wizard of Oz, it was like Toto was the most rare card to find. So if you only had like one card, it'd be worth 5 tickets. But if you had the entire set, so for example, Wizard of Oz, it was Scarecrow, Lion, Tin Man, Dorothy, Toto, the Wizard. So if you had all 6, you got like 1,000 tickets or some ridiculous bonus.
So I would imagine that the games where you get tickets would be super popular.
Correct. Right. It absolutely is with kids. Yeah. The redemption games is what they're called in the industry are ridiculous. The only thing that makes more than the redemption games and the coin pushers would be the crane games. Crane games make so much freaking money. It's ridiculous. And those things are so rigged that I mean, like as an adult, I'm just like, yeah, I'm not. Yeah, I'd rather go to CVS and buy you a $5 stuffed animal. But as a kid, that's where I'd be, is the crane game.
Yeah, it seemed like they put like butter on the claws to make it like super slippery, man. Now, were the places you worked, were they have more retro type games or?
So they were more modern, up to date. Especially the first place that I worked at, we would pride ourselves in getting the most up to date games. Also, our geographic location, we were right across the street from the Orange County Convention Center, which is one of the largest convention centers in the country. And every year there was a huge conference. It's called IAPA, which was all about amusements, attractions, parks, theme parks. It's the third largest convention at that convention center for the entire year. So we were located right across the street. So a lot of game manufacturers were like, hey, we want you to have this on your floor for free, because we want to showcase it in real time and show potential clients what it does and how it performs. Now, the second place that I worked at, my owners were extremely cheap. So we called them classic games. They were just old, and it wasn't like, we would have Time Crisis 4, but they're on Time Crisis 5 or 6, it was just, we got them cheaper because they were one series outdated.
I'm curious if you got into that biz because you were super into and passionate about arcade games or?
It was more about the attractions side of it. Both family entertainment centers that I worked at, it wasn't just an arcade. It had a go-kart track, a trampoline park, bowling, a bar, a restaurant. So it was more being on the attraction side of things and less about the arcade. I really enjoyed it, obviously. I wouldn't say arcades are a passion. I enjoyed really breaking down the analytics and trying to kind of learn where people are spending money, how profitable these things really are. Because if you buy a new arcade game, it pays for itself in 90 days. It's ridiculous. And those things are not cheap. I mean, they're, the cheapest one that I've seen roll in was $5,000. And then they get up to 40, 50, 60, 80 grand for these games.
Whoa.
Like I said, the coin pushers, especially like the 6-player Wizard of Oz, can get up to 40 grand and can pay for itself in 90 days. Because it's almost like gambling. And a lot of, it's not just the kids that like to play the coin pushers, it's your older demographics as well, because it's kind of like a casino for them. And one thing, old people love casino games. So that game actually comes with stools to sit on, because the old people love to sit there with their coin bucket and they're pumping coins into that thing to not coins anymore because the everything's on play cards, but.
Very interesting. So, Sai, when did it end for you?
Oh man, heartbreaking question right there. You know what? When they started closing a lot down, to be honest, don't get me wrong, the game systems were getting better and more people were able to, afford them. I would say probably right around, freshman year of high school. So right at the cusp of the millennium, year 2000. Year 2000, a lot of people were by that time, PlayStation, Dreamcast, I think was still around, obviously Nintendo. I think Xbox was on the cusp as well. So, it was more of a selection. Yeah, they were closing a lot of those arcades down. I remember, and they were getting expensive. I remember when the Carolina Ice Palace opened up, and I remember they had that big arcade, and it was so expensive because everything was on a card. So it's like, all right, you couldn't use the coins anymore. You had to use the card. And it's like, okay. And then I don't know if it was a price adjustment. I don't know. But I just remember at one point it started to get a little expensive. And I was like, you know what, man, let me just get this PlayStation or, you know, Xbox. And we just kick it here at the house, you know, save on gas money. So, yeah, I would say that for sure.
I remember going to this arcade as a kid. It was it's called JJ Starbucks, and it was a medium sized arcade. But, you know, I went to a lot of birthday parties there. I may have even had a birthday party there. And I was so devastated when it closed down. And I asked my dad, I was like, why did this place close down? It looks like all the arcades are closing down. He said, well, you don't make any money in arcades. I mean, they're only charging 25 cents per play. I was like, oh, you know, I guess you're right. Somewhere, somehow, I don't know, they figured out a way to make more money in arcades. And I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's the formula, like these family entertainment centers like Dave and Buster's, that it's not just for kids. But I say that, and Chuck E. Cheese has been around for how long? I think back in the 80s, they couldn't figure out how to make money because no one was going to put 50 cents in a game. They'll put 25 cents in a game several times, but to activate it, they're not going to do 50 cents. I mean, I remember if I went to a game that took more than one quarter, I went to the next game. I was not putting multiple quarters in. Now I would to continue, but not to on the initial play. So I don't know if they just kind of figured out a way to, I think going to the card system and using that, I think was an easier way to make money because you're putting $20 on a card and now you're not thinking about it every time you swipe. And especially there's a strategy, instead of putting the price of the game like a dollar, they'll put credits. So it'll be 5 credits. And it always ends on an odd number so that you'll always have stuff left on your card. So that you're like, oh crap, I still have 2 credits left. I need to go put more money on so I can keep playing. And the credit system seems to work.
Mary, what about you?
I guess I stopped going into the arcades because I stopped carrying my games. I mean, Ms. Pac-Man was always there, but the Star Wars game disappeared.
Natty, when did you stop?
I mean, the only reason that I ever stopped was because arcades were shutting down. They were no longer becoming popular, or maybe you had to go really out of the way. There was this place that as a teenager, as a 16, 17 year old, you know, with friends who have cars, we would drive like 20, 30 minutes to. It was called Sports World. You know, it had everything there along with some, you know, modern stuff. I did always love the basketball stuff too. I still play that too. But then that got shut down, and you know, it just kind of, arcades just got shut down and then stopped going, really. Yeah.
So is going to an arcade completely out of your system now? It was fun growing up, but I'm good. Now I'm good. It was fun back then, but now I have no desire to do that anymore.
No, I want to do it, okay? I may be, how old am I? 36, but I still feel young inside, and I'm never too cool for school. Like, I need to go and play, and, you know, if I had friends and they didn't want to do it, I would think, like, why? You know, it's so disappointing, but no, I am down to get in there and compete and, you know, whip someone's ass in air hockey and...
Hey, so we're wanting the arcade with all the old games in it.
Bring back arcades and roller rinks. And I understand that the new generation is all about the computer and stuff like that, but I still think that kids would have fun going to these places, and I just wish they'd be brought back. And I can't understand why they even got shut down in the first place. I mean, I guess money-wise, but you know what? Here's where hipsters are good. Hipsters are bringing like all the stuff back, like listening to vinyl records and stuff. And even though, you know, they're a little weird, they're bringing experiences back. So you hipsters out there, you know, get with the program, bring back the roller rink, the arcades.
Sid?
I'll tell you, there's a place that has a lot of the old school games, which is cool. And D&B, they've got regular arcade games as well as like the activity games for the kids. There's a few other places around here. Here in Central Texas, there's a place up the street called Austin Pizza, and it's a full-on thing. They've got the go-karts, they've got the miniature golf, and then they've got all the arcade games on the inside. We had a place out there up, and I think it was near Goose Creek. It was a Paradise Island.
Frankie's Fun Park.
Frankie's Fun Park. Same kind of setup, man. And you know when the folks came through, let's all head up to Frankie's Fun Park because it was just a big old thing. You got the games, you got the stuff on the outside. If you wanted to take a walk with a special someone, you could walk around and take the, you know. So for that experience, yeah, I'd totally go out there once all the stuff clears up, man. I was trying to get my wife to go out to the same type of deal down the street, man. She's not really into that, which is cool. But if I had my crew and we just wanted a flashback day, for sure. For sure, head out there. Just the last time I went to D&B was when my niece and nephews came through, and I just kind of took them out there. And man, you talk about a lack of appreciation for money. Those kids were spending money like crazy. And I'm like, I'm not your daddy. I'm your uncle. You got a limit.
I know. It's so funny how our perspective of money changes as adults from when we were kids.
I don't know where the money came from, man. that's the only hit on that, man. Just what, like, right now, like, an average game at D&B is going to cost you probably a couple of bucks. I'm like, ooh, I don't remember that. I remember, like, a quarter, 25, you know, 50 cents. But that's the old school me. And I guess we're in that age right now, which is old school. And that's cool.
Hey, old school is cool.
Yeah.
J-Rock.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Big time. Show me where it's at. I'll make a night out of it. I'm like, word? Okay, Friday night or Saturday night? Sunday, whatever. I'm like, I am there. Seriously. I tell you right now, don't let me get super wealthy. I'm serious. Do not, because if you know what, when that happens, I'm gonna have a school. I can find an old shopping center and I'm gonna bring back all of that. I'm gonna bring back the arcades, I'm gonna bring back Qzar. Remember Qzar? That's a laser tag.
Ah, laser tag, yeah.
Discovery Zone. Yeah, I'm gonna bring all that back. I'm gonna renovate Frankie's Fun Place, Fun Park. Yeah, renovate that. Yeah, if they were to bring back like the classic arcade, oh my gosh, man, I'd be in heaven. And you know, it'd be nothing but people our age. We would be in there. Like, kids would probably come, but they'd probably like, all right, let's go back, play the PlayStation 5s and Xbox X's and all that. Man, let me get to the arcade, for real. So I can really like do these kids dirty. Cause these kids, I try to play, and they just talk so much trash. So I'm like, you know what? Y'all are some bullies, man. I don't want to play with y'all. But let me put in a Nintendo. Oh, it is over. Ultimate payback. Yeah. Bring the arcades back. That's all. Just bring it back. You have people like myself and others who are dying for this to come back. Let us relive our childhood. You know, they reboot everything in the movies anyway. How about you reboot the arcade? Do that. I'm telling you. I would love that. So.
Ty, you done with arcades now?
For a family type trip? Yeah. Like, I've been there with, you know, my kids, my husband. We've been to Dave and Buster's, and the girls play the arcade game. So I think, like, today it would be, for me, more of a family event, you know, versus a solo thing. Or me with, you know, with the kids, or dad with the girls.
Deanna, what do you say?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, there's good and bad to any time in our lives, but, you know, I like to hold on to the good, and this has been a fun conversation thinking back to that time. And, you know, I think, like, it's great to hold on to a little bit of your youth and don't forget, like, where you came from and still play. I actually had a guest on my podcast not too long ago, and he goes into corporate offices and teaches the culture there that it's important to still play like a kid, because, you know, it just loosens things up. It helps build creativity. And, you know, it's just, I feel like if we get too serious with life, I mean, that's just not good. You got to still have fun.
Now I would go there for nostalgic purposes, because it's kind of like how a song can be a time capsule and take you back in time. You know, now if I go into an arcade and I plop in a quarter and I play a Ms. Pac-Man, I'm 8 years old again. And my mom and dad are somewhere nearby. And there's that feeling of nostalgia. And for a moment while I'm playing that, I'm that time. So it's still important. It still has a place in my life. And I hope that when I start having dementia or whatever, when that starts, that somebody will think to park me in front of a Star Wars game or a Miss Pac-Man, and that maybe they'll get a little bit of life out of me.
And you know what's funny too? I just wrote this quote down because I saw it and it broke my heart. Because I've just been feeling super nostalgic, man, ever since my birthday passed. So I'm sure you've seen this quote or this meme. So it's like, at some point in your childhood, you and your friends went outside to play together for the last time and nobody knew it.
Oh, man. Dang it, J-Rock.
You know, it's like, you for the last time and none of us knew it. You and your guys, girls, y'all outside hanging out. And then after that, you know, it's like, wow, that was the last, man. So,
man, that is heartbreaking.
I know. That's what I'm like, and you didn't know it. Yeah, we all done it. We all have. So,
Scott, cheer me up, man. Are arcades dead?
No, arcades are definitely not dead. In fact, like I said, there's a reemergence of them, and they're going to be around for a while. Yeah, it's different. It's different. First of all, the games are brighter. They're brighter. They're louder. Obviously, the technology of the graphics are just ridiculously better. And as a kid, you know, I think the arcade was that hangout place for kids. You know, it was the, hey, it's Saturday, we're going to go to the arcade. I think the television show Stranger Things does a really good job of portraying what it was in the 80s. And now I think it's more of a family type thing. I don't think you have as many of your regulars because I think they are larger and I think they're more expensive. And so it's can't go as often as you'd probably like. I love checking out new arcade concepts, especially if it's an adult type atmosphere where they do sell food and alcohol. I love them. I think it's the most brilliant new concept that probably starting with Dave and Buster's, we're really starting to see an emergence of it around, especially in Florida, but probably around the country. I mean, there are, I would say, three or four different arcade concepts down here, very large arcade concepts. There's Game Time, Main Event, which is a bowling facility, but has a huge arcade, and then Andretti Indoor Karting Games and Dave and Buster's. And I think it's a brilliant business model because not only is it great for the families, but it's great for the adults. So
that's true. Alcohol is a good draw. Plus go-karts and stuff.
Yeah, and I think those little arcades, those are dead. But the arcade as a whole, they're going strong.
Ergo, by definition, I guess arcades aren't dead. They're just different. And in a world that mostly sucks, I just hope that the younger generations are making some great childhood memories, just like we did. I got to give huge thank yous to my guests. Ty, thank you.
No problem. Have a good
one. Mary.
Hi.
Thank you.
All right. Be well. I love.
Natty, thank you.
All right. See ya. Peace.
Cedric, appreciate you, brother.
Yeah, for sure. Tell your folks, say what's up, man. Miss you guys.
Deanna, thank you so much. And you have a thriving podcast as well, which is called
Label Free Podcast.
Well, tell us about it.
So I talk to people that are basically living life on their own terms, people that have maybe like experienced some trauma and overcome it. It's mainly really all entrepreneurs, people that have broken out of societal expectations and, you know, and not, you know, we are programmed at a very young age that we have to live life a certain way. And I love talking to individuals that are inspiring, that have not, that aren't following those rules and have decided to create a life that they are proud of and that they're passionate about. And it really could be artists. It could be, you know, but I mean, even artists are entrepreneurs. I mean, you're an artist. I'm an artist doing this. I just talk to the most incredible people all around the world. I absolutely love it. Absolutely love it. A lot of authors. I know that I probably in the last couple of weeks, I've sold like 5 books for my authors with the audience. So that is so rewarding when I get messages like that.
Awesome. Well, thank you again.
I love it. I'm glad I could be a part of it. That's awesome.
Scott, you have a podcast as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's called the No New Friends Podcast. We can be found on all podcasting platforms. We also have a YouTube channel. And I love when people ask me what the podcast about is about, because it's a podcast about everything and nothing all at the same time. You know, we really talk a lot about just everyday life, but with a comedic twist on it. You know, it's adulting, it's parenting, a lot of pop culture. We just kind of talk about what's going on in our life. We try to keep the topics very relatable, but also very, very funny. And that's kind of it. You know, it's about everything and nothing all at the same time.
Awesome. Well, thank you again, man. I learned a lot and had some other suspicions confirmed.
Yeah, thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
And finally, the radio star and co-host of the Comic Section Podcast and mogul of the Comic Section Podcast Network, Jason, a.k.a. J-Rock DeMike.
Look, I could talk all day 90s, man. 90s, I could do, man. Nostalgic nerd at heart, man. That's, you know, what can I say?
I love it. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. All right, man. Have a good one, bro.
So what do you think? Did you ever get your name on the high score list? Was there a difference in boys and girls game choices? Are arcades dead to you? Or are you still down to go? I'd love to know. My email is studio@sonicembassy.com. And you can also find the Sonic Embassy on Twitter, Vero, Facebook, Patreon, and IG. Our website, sonicembassy.com. Links to Deanna's and Scott's and Jason's podcasts are in the description. If you enjoy this episode, share it so more people can find out about us, because we want to grow. But if you think this podcast will never get its initials on the high scores list, well, send the link to someone you hate. sonicembassy.com/podcast. If you have an idea that you think would make a great episode, let me know. Thank you so much for listening. I love you, and I hope you'll listen more. There's another episode of Pop Culture Icons in development, so follow the Sonic Embassy to stay up to date.
Embassy.
Sonic Embassy.